Another hot day ahead. We'll talk about that later on this hour with Barry Keim, LSU health climatologist, as a matter of fact. But we begin by talking to Richard Nelson, president of Louisiana Community and Technical College System. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. Let's start by defining what Louisiana's community and technical colleges are.
Yeah, sure. So we have 12 colleges across the state. Delgado is probably the one that most of your listeners are the most familiar with. But we have them basically in almost every major city, and we have locations even outside of that main campus. Usually we have locations, the satellite locations, that are probably about 60, 65 different locations across the state. So we serve about 130,000 students, and so it's mostly associate's degrees or technical certificates. Those kind of things get people nursing, welding, electrical certifications, basically everything you need to get in the workforce.
A lot of good jobs to be had, a lot of money to be made by going to one of Louisiana's community and technical colleges. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong, no. So our colleges have a lot of programs that are in high demand right now. We really, every time I talk to, I talk to employers across the state, and they just say, I can't hire enough. And our programs, too, they take 2 years or less. Some, you know, we have a program up in Delta Community College up in Monroe that's feeding people directly into that giant Meta project, where they go for 4 weeks and then they go and make up to $80,000 a year. So it's a big deal.
So what are the hotter, I guess, jobs or the things that you say you talk to employers and they can't find enough people in the workforce? What roles, what fields would those be in, Richard?
Sure. So nursing is in incredibly high demand across the state, no matter where you are. Welding, you can't get enough welders, electricians, you can't find enough electricians. HVAC techs, these guys are just in huge demand, and a lot of that's driven by these big industrial projects like the Meta project or these big LNG facilities being built on the coast. They're just, you can't find enough people. I mean, they're flying people in from Texas and Arkansas and everything else too, but it also gives a chance for folks in Louisiana to get in on the action as well.
And for parents that are listening right now, and a four-year college is not for everybody, what kind of money can you make as a welder, an electrician, or an HVAC tech?
Like I said, if you go, some of these guys that are going to work at some of these big industrial sites are making at least $30 an hour right off the bat. So, and that's almost with no experience. You just walk in. But at the end of the day, it's really a pretty significant earning potential, especially when you compare it, what you might, you know, friends of mine that, you know, when you graduated from with a 4-year degree and you maybe go work at Starbucks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's also much more affordable. Usually, you know, most of our students can work from home. They don't have to go and, you know, stay and find somewhere else to stay. The tuition and fees are a lot more affordable than a 4-year college. So it is, I think I would say, a much wiser option from a financial standpoint. But especially for most people in Louisiana, you'll be able to successfully complete it, and you'll be able to find a job on the other end.
So if you were to plot this on a bell curve nationally, are we seeing more of a resurgence of community and technical colleges around the country where the emphasis is going from 4-year degrees to, wait a minute, that's not for me, and by the way, I can make a lot of money doing this, where, as opposed to, like you're saying, getting out with a degree, and no disrespect to French literature, there's a time and a place for that, but and working at Starbucks?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it is. I think in the country, I think there's pretty significant capital investment around the country where we're building a lot of things in America that, you know, that hasn't been the case for the last couple of years or for the last couple of decades, honestly. And I think Louisiana is kind of at the tip of that sword, right? So we've had $200 billion or something like that of capital projects that have been announced to come to the state just in the last 2 years. And that's probably going to get even, you know, greater next week. And so when all these things happen, that's the demand for those jobs and those projects. They use about 70 or 80% of the people that graduate from community technical colleges. So when the workforce requires that, I mean, that's where the demand is going to be for the employers. And so, for example, about 14% of our enrollment right now already has a bachelor's degree, and they're coming back in order to get the skills
really?
They need to go get a job. Yes.
Wow. Interesting that you say it's going to change next week. Cryptically, he says that. It might change next week. We'll see what happens.
If you believe what you read in the paper.
If you believe what you read in the paper. There you go. What are you guys doing with the website to make this more available to prospective students, to make them more aware of what's waiting for them?
Sure. So we're, you know, part of my, you know, I've been in the job for about 7 months now, and we kind of did a big survey, went all around the state, talked to everybody, you know, got feedback. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed is that really the websites are a little bit more difficult to navigate, to figure out, well, which are the high value programs, which are not, like. And so I think that that's the kind of information that you want right up front. Like, hey, how much money am I going to make? How long is it going to take me to finish this? You know, how many of your people graduates go on to get employment? And so that's what we're trying to do on the website, is really just make it so the information that people need is very easy to see. And so that way we can do it quickly.
What is the website, Richard?
So we actually have like 13 websites. Okay. So every college has it. So you can go to Delgado. If you look up Delgado, you can see Delgado's. Nunez is also right there in Chalmette, and they do a great job training people, especially in a lot of these technical fields. But the community technical colleges is lctcs.edu.
So you're trying to make it, I guess, universally consistent across the different platforms so that people can find that information, like you're talking about, like here's what I have to do to make this much to do this in this occupation?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the struggles is, you know, people don't have time to figure out all this and navigate it, and so we're trying to make it, one, easily available on the website, and then two, have, you know, counselors available so that if you have questions about, well, what are we going to do? What is the path for me? If you want to be a welder, you can get, you know, you should take this certification, this certification, this certification, and then you got everything you need to go work, right? And so we're trying to make that information easily available and then have people available, counselors available to help people go through that process.
Let me take a break. We'll talk about the fall semester coming up and more with Richard Nelson, who is our guest. He's the president of the Louisiana Community and Technical College System. I know what you did, Richard. I just didn't know what the title was, but I got it now. Traffic, WWL. 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Richard Nelson, president of Louisiana Community and Technical College System, talking about some of the careers and jobs that are available and also the friendliness of the website, I guess. And I was fooling around with it during a commercial break, Richard, and saw about the enrollment code. What is it? The career coach, I think they called it, and so forth. And it really is interactive. There's a lot there on the website.
Well, yeah, we're working to make them better, too, I would say. It's a work in progress.
So ultimately, how big is the need for technical college, community and technical colleges in Louisiana? And how important is it that we stay ahead of the curve when it comes to providing workers for these jobs that are coming?
I would say the need has probably never been greater. You know, this is really an unprecedented level of investment that's coming into the state. It's something that we've never seen before. And so I think the community technical college system was doing a pretty good job of keeping up with where we were, you know, years ago, a couple years ago. We were still, unfortunately, there hadn't been a lot of investment in the system for the state for a while. So this year was actually the first year that the legislature actually kind of put up more money and gave us the ability to, I think, expand some of the programs. But now we have this huge influx of investment from, you know, these giant capital projects that, you know, the demand for most of those projects, like I said, 70 to 80% of the jobs they're going to create are going to come from the community technical colleges. So it really is a new, I would say, kind of a new day. But you also have on top of that, you know, artificial intelligence is kind of going to disrupt everything, right? Like a lot of the white collar jobs, you know, some of them are going to go, a lot of them are going to go away. Some of them are going to just change. But that level of training, too, means that you have to be dynamic because you can't predict what that disruption is going to look like. And I think from our perspective, you know, the two-year colleges, the community technical colleges are probably in the best position because, you know, a lot of the jobs that we train people for are not going to be replaced by robots or by, you know, artificial intelligence. And we are also able to very quickly and nimbly adjust our programs to include those kind of things in that curriculum.
So for parents that might be listening and they have a child that is a senior in high school and maybe four-year college is not for them and they're kind of confused about where the jobs are going to be, what would you tell them to look into, Richard?
Yeah, I would say definitely go look at your local community technical college because, you know, there's a bunch of programs there that are going to be available. They're going to be able to be targeted to whatever they really want to do. And, you know, you're going to be able to complete it affordably and it's not going to take that much time. And honestly, a lot of our students work while they're going to school. So that's kind of the model that we have, which I think works well in putting people in the workforce. So I would say if you don't want your kids sleeping on your couch, you should, you know, go take them to the local community technical college.
Well, they can still sleep on your couch if you want. Thank you, Richard.
Right. Well, forever.
Forever, yeah, exactly. Appreciate it. Richard Nelson, President of Louisiana Community and Technical College System. You're going to need a bigger couch. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Barry Keim about the heat right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 744, 16 till 8, Tommy Tucker here on WWL on this Thursday morning, August 20th. Quick programming note, the return of Dr. B. Dr. Brent Wallace from People's Health joins us after 8 o'clock to talk about the importance of taking your medication as it's prescribed. Right now, it's not the heat, it's the stupidity, and it has been stupid hot. That's why we're talking to Barry Keim, LSU Health Climatologist right now. How you doing, Barry?
I'm good. I hope you're staying cool over there.
It has just been ridiculously hot. Man, I cut grass yesterday, and you know, normally sometimes you get a little feeling of satisfaction after, you get a little feeling of accomplishment after. I felt like nothing but having had my rear end kicked is what I felt. Why is it so crazy hot?
Yeah, we've been kind of stuck in a pattern for a big chunk of this summer where we have high pressure anchored in the Gulf of Mexico. It's kind of knocking down the opportunities for thunderstorms, and it's just pumping all this moisture in here and keeping us bloody hot. We're just baking in the sun. There isn't enough cloud cover, and the humidity is way up there, and you know, the heat index is through the roof. So it's just been a crazy pattern. I mean, we've had stranger things happen, but boy, this is really uncomfortable.
So what is it that's keeping the thunderstorms from forming?
Okay, it's high pressure in the Gulf of Mexico. If you look at a current weather map, you'll see a big H sitting in the middle of the Gulf. And that high pressure is helping to stabilize coastal Louisiana. A high pressure basically is an area where air is kind of subsiding. In other words, it's moving from high altitude and being directed toward the surface. It's moving downward rather than upward. When air moves upward, then you get clouds and you get storms. Mm-hmm. But when the air moves downward, it's crystal clear and you just bake under the sun. And we've had, you know, lots of dominance of this what I would call a Gulf high pressure system. This Gulf high is really, really steering our weather. You know, and I was looking at some what's called wind roses, looking at how the wind has affected Louisiana over the summer. And normally we get a southeasterly wind, and that's, you know, that means we're all kind of on the edge of all this high pressure, and we get all our thunderstorms popping off. But the winds have been primarily from the southwest, and that tells me that this high pressure in the Gulf of Mexico is really controlling our weather, and it's just stabilizing the air, you know, more than normal for a summer in Louisiana. And we're just baking with this high humidity, and, you know, it's pretty gross out there. You know, there's no doubt about it.
So can we look at this high pressure system over the Gulf as a protective barrier, if you will, against hurricanes, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I think that it's relatively weak high pressure, but it's still high pressure and it's out there. But you know, a tropical storm or hurricane would just bulldoze its way right on through that. So, but fortunately, we have other things in place that are protecting us this year from those hurricanes. In fact, by the way, yeah, I pulled up the National Hurricane Center page just a little while ago, just to, in preparation for you. Mm-hmm. And they got the, you know, big letters: tropical cyclone activity is not expected during the next 7 days. And how welcoming is that on August the 20th? I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, look, I take it 7 days at a time at this time of year. What is the statistical peak of hurricane season, Barry?
It's September the 10th. So we're moving right into the teeth of all that. It seems like we get most of our really bad hurricanes on the front end of that, but that certainly doesn't mean we can't get one, you know, in the latter part of September. We have, but you know, some of the most historical hurricanes, you know, Camille, Betsy, Katrina, were all in that, you know, the late part of August even. And Betsy hit on September the 9th. Happened to be on my birthday, by the way. Mm.
Well, happy birthday, other than that, I guess. What forms this heat dome?
It's kind of a, well, I mean,
is that the same as the high pressure system or not?
Yeah, exactly. The heat dome is a high pressure system. The high pressure system that we get anchored in the Gulf of Mexico is kind of an extension of this feature we call the Bermuda High, which is another even bigger high pressure system that gets anchored, you know, out over in the Atlantic Ocean. And occasionally it'll get ridged a little further to the west than normal, and a little branch of it, if you will blossom up into the Gulf of Mexico. And that's basically what we're seeing, is an extension of that Bermuda high pressure. And that Bermuda high is what, you know, normally gives us southeasterly winds. But when that high pressure gets displaced a little further to the west, it shifts our wind from the southeast to the southwest. And that may not seem like a big deal, but that indicates that high pressure has more control over our weather when it's coming out of the southwest and the southeast. And we're a little more stable, fewer thunderstorms, more baking in the sun without enough cloud cover and thunderstorms. So, yeah, it's a very unpleasant pattern for us.
So no tropical activity until August 27th. And looking back to the coast of Africa, do we see anything back there at all?
Yeah, I mean, there are some, basically these little clusters of thunderstorms that could form into waves. I mean, these things are just kind of streaming off of Africa, but it doesn't look like the conditions are conducive for any of that to spin up into anything overly serious. So right now the conditions are definitely good for us. But again, that's not going to hold out for the whole hurricane season.
7 days at a time takes us to August 27th. I'll take it. As far as the no tropical activity for 7 days, what about the chance for showers in this heat dome high pressure system? That's going to remain in place?
That's going to remain in place. I mean, it just so happens yesterday. I was out riding my bike in the evening. It's like there's no chance of rain, right? Well, yeah. I got poured on. It's one of these little isolated storms kind of hung over City Park, made my afternoon ride pretty miserable. But nevertheless, we're looking at, 10-20% chance of rain. So 10-20% of the area will get some pop-up thunder showers. But so if you get some of it, consider yourself lucky because it'll help hold the temperatures down. But I would argue most of the city in region is not going to see any rain today, probably tomorrow, and really all the way into the weekend. I think things will kind of destabilize for at least a short period, Sunday into Monday, maybe early Tuesday. We have a cold front actually to the north is going to drop just far enough south that it may destabilize us a little bit and push that high pressure out of the way for at least a day or so.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it. Barry Keim, LSU health climatologist. We'll take a break, come back, talk with Ginny Bauman, Vice President of Animal Rescue in New Orleans, about what's going on over there. Right now it's time for traffic on WWE. 7:56, quickly to Ginny Bauman, Vice President of Animal Rescue New Orleans. Arno, how you doing, Ginny?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. Tell me what's going on at Arno. Tell me what you guys are all about.
Well, we're the little no-kill shelter out in Jefferson, and, we've got some fun events coming up. This evening, there's a little event going on at Gulf Coast Bank for auctions in August. It's a little free event that they have every year so people can go in person and see some of the items. We have 19 items to bid on, mm-hmm. and that's at the Elmwood Park, 1208 Elmwood Park Boulevard tonight from 5:30 to 7. Some light refreshments, and one of our volunteers will be there. And then the canine crooner, Craig Cortella, will be performing at the Second Line Brewery. That's on Friday if you want to come out and see some adoptable dogs. And that's Friday evening at 433 North Bernadette in New Orleans, 6 to 8. And then we'll be back at PetSmart on Veterans over the weekend on Sunday. So lots of fun things going on, And we're also having our anniversary. It's the 20th anniversary. We came back after Katrina and did animal rescue. We were the animal first responders, feeders, trappers. And it's 20 years. It was actually in March. But I hope you can come. We're having a free event to thank everyone on October 3rd at our new shelter. So I'll be calling you back to remind you because we'd love to have you come out again and meet all the dogs and cats.
I'd love to do it. As a matter of fact, before we run out of time, I'm looking at Pearl right now at the website.
Oh, my God.
Let's find Pearl a home. Pearl's black and white.
Oh, yeah.
If I had room, I got two of them now, but if I had room, I'd adopt Pearl in a heartbeat. Tell me about Pearl.
She is the nicest dog. She was adopted out as a puppy. And unfortunately, her owner fell on hard times. So, with us, once an Arno dog, always an Arno dog. and through no fault of her own, she came back and, you know, was a little overwhelmed at first, coming back a little scared, but she loves other dogs and she's just blossoming. She's just a sweet, sweet girl.
Tell me the website where people can go to find out about Pearl and fall in love with her.
It's animalrescueneworleans.org, all written out, and right. They can click on adoptables.
Let's get Pearl a home. Let's try to do that, because she's a good-looking dog. Man, I'd love to have her. I tell you what, but I can't. I got two now, and it's too much. Thank you.
You are the best.
Appreciate it, Jenny.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to Dr. B when we come back about the importance of taking your medications on time. Tommy Tucker, WWL.